The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Which brings me to a moment I've dreaded and forces me to suspend my long-standing attempt at neutrality. There is no real choice this November. There is only the perpetuation, however flawed and feeble you might perceive it, of our fragile 249-year-old experiment, or the entropy that will engulf and destroy us if we take the other route. When, as Mercy Otis Warren would say, the checks of conscience are thrown aside and a deformed picture of the soul is revealed. The presumptive Republican nominee is the opioid of all opioids, an easy cure for what some believe is the solution to our myriad pains and problems, when in fact, with him, you end up re-enslaved with an even bigger problem, a worse affliction and addiction, a bigger delusion, James Baldwin would say, the author and finisher of our national existence, our national suicide, as Mr. Lincoln prophesied. Do not be seduced by easy equalization. There is nothing equal about this equation. We are at an existential crossroads in our political and civic lives. This is a choice that could not be clearer.
So first of all, what Trump is appealing to is what, you know, Frederick Douglass talked about in July 5th of 1852. He said there's a horrible reptile in the bosom of the nation. And that reptile for him was slavery. It was a certain set of assumptions, not just simply about black people, but about the superiority of white people to own black people. And he said, we must rip that reptile from our hearts. But, you know, it's the central contradiction. It's the contradiction that eats at the entrails of the country. And Donald Trump is appealing to those grievances, those hatreds, those old ghosts.
Are we loyal to an idea that sometimes means I have to give as opposed to take, which is not part of human nature, right? Since the third chapter of Genesis, it's been more fun for us to take than to give, right? And so, but democracy, American democracy, as it's unfolded, is about giving as well as taking and seeing each other as neighbors. And, you know, without that, then politics is a total war. It's the law of the jungle, and it's going to keep unfolding in this disastrous way.
Three prominent historians and academics, professors, and they're all warning about the end of democracy should Donald Trump return to power. Just think about this for a moment. The attacks on Trump are unprecedented in American history. It's never happened. Never. And you would think the historians of all people would understand how dangerous it is to go after a political opponent like you would in some third world dictatorship. They're right here witnessing what we're witnessing, and they can't see it. They're products. These prominent historians are products of modern education. What does it tell you about the problem with education today? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us here at the beginning of the week. Well, actually, yesterday was the beginning of the work week, although it was a holiday here in the United States. We appreciate Sam Livingston, our producer, sitting in and subbing for me on yesterday's show. It's great to be back. But it's also nice to have a three-day weekend from time to time. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. And you can join in on the conversation, the feedback, and, of course, always the thumbs up there at Rumble as well. Lots to get to on today's show. We've got some more exciting feedback from the Baton Rouge performance last Thursday. That'll be coming up in the second segment, depending on upon how we arrange everything. I was looking at my notes, just wondering how to squeeze it all in. But if we don't get to it today, we'll definitely get to it tomorrow. But I think we can squeeze it in today. And it's a well-received feature of this program. It's always great to hear how people react to Celtic Throne, particularly after seeing it for the first time. And speaking of the Celtic Throne performance, just go to CelticThrone.com and you can get the rundown on all the performances coming up. Today, in fact, is a performance day in Mobile, Alabama. So the troupe made their way across the southeast of the United States yesterday. I don't know how many hours they were on the road. But right now, they're probably stretching and preparing and getting ready for tonight's show in Mobile, Alabama. 2 days after that, they move into Florida, where we're going to have three Celtic Throne performances. Fort Myers, Florida. That's Thursday night. And Sam and I will be there for that performance. So you might track us down if you'd like to. But just a quick word about Fort Myers. I think it's a big theater of 1,600 seats, I believe. But I believe we'll have over 1,200 people for that show, which means it's going to be the biggest audience to ever witness Celtic Throne live. So if you're in Central Florida, join the largest audience that we've ever yet had for a Celtic Throne show. Following the Thursday show in Fort Myers, you've got Sarasota on Sunday, and then I think it's Jacksonville next Tuesday, week from today. So lots to look forward to if you are in the Florida area. So just coming back to that cold open, you hear from today's historians. How disappointing, by the way, to hear Ken Burns, that was the one at the top, speaking at Brandeis University at another commencement where he trashes Trump. Nobody boos him. I mean, they make no bones about booing Trump, even at the Libertarian convention from Saturday. And as you heard yesterday on the show that Sam had, Trump gets up there. He goes into the lion's den and he says, fine, boo all you want. Go ahead and vote for your 2 or 3% candidate. Why don't the people at these surely there's a few conservatives sitting in the midst of the Brandeis crowd. How about booing Ken Burns? What a disappointment, by the way. I can remember at Edstone, we watched my family and I watched the, I forget, 6 or 8 part series on the Civil War produced by Ken Burns. Just a brilliant look back at the Civil War period of the United States. And here we're coming up to another Civil War that's discussed in America Under Attack and other writings of ours. But here we're coming up to another Civil War, and this historian, along with many others like him, they're warning about the side that actually wants to preserve America's traditions, its constitution, and all those things. The country's being destroyed by the radical left. And here's Ken Burns. He said, what did he say? I've dreaded to bring this up. I mean, I've just had a longstanding position of trying to remain neutral. But Donald Trump, because of Trump, he can't stay neutral. He just can't. He's got to go to Brandeis University and spew Trump hatred, as if we don't get enough of that in the discourse of today. We had an article just a couple months ago, The War in 24. The lawfare against, just going back to this point about the unprecedented attacks on Trump, never seen it in history. And you would think the historians would come forward and say, well, hang on a second. Nobody's ever gone after it. Nobody's ever used the DOJ to go after a political opponent like what we're seeing today. This is alarming. I mean, maybe there's a few commentators and or historians that are sounding the alarm. But the most prominent among them, those are the ones that are regularly featured on MSNBC, just like John Meacham. Anything but neutral. Here they are. There is such a thing as fake historians. We comment all the time about fake news, the fake president. There's fake historians too, sadly. The lawfare against President Trump is truly unprecedented. He's been impeached twice, once for trying to expose Biden family corruption in Ukraine, which abundant evidence has proved to be true, and once for trying to expose the theft of the 2020 presidential election, which abundant evidence has proved to be true. After more than 234 years, listen to this. This is at the Trumpet. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you call our operators today and subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. There you can get a true reading of history, whether recent or ancient or anything in between. 1-866-930-3024. You can also get to all of our material at our website, thetrumpet.com. But we wrote in the March 24, 2024 Trumpet, after more than 234 years of American presidential history, yielded zero felony indictments, radical prosecutors charged President Trump with four such indictments in 5 months last year, formally accusing him of no less than 91 felonies and scheduling trial dates for the middle of a presidential campaign. This never happened in our history. There's some history for you. There's some shocking news for you. The way that they're attacking Trump, it shows you, besides their ignorance of history, as brilliant as that documentary was on the Civil War by Ken Burns, there's a lot of blind spots in their worldview, isn't there? It shows you also just how powerful the regime is. Look at how many people are compliant. Historians, academics, leaders, Republicans even. It shows how powerful the prince of the power of the air is. He's just surcharging the air with lies and deception. You look at the worldview of Joe Obama. We'll come to that a little bit later. But how could they empower Iran and attack Israel? That's upside down, right? Another article we wrote, this is from February of 2023, last year, in the Trumpet print edition. Mighty Rome fell. America is on its deathbed. My father wrote, many Americans seem to believe the country can indefinitely survive endless abuse, rampant corruption, and radical transformation of foundational institutions. This is false. History teaches us much about America's fate. All these things are happening. The abuse, the rampant corruption, the radical transformation. What do these prominent historians have to say about the dear leader vowing in 2008 to fundamentally transform the United States of America? To transform it into what? What's wrong with the fundamentals? Everything, according to the dear leader, Barack Obama. The historians, though, they're just like the regime media. They swoon before Obama. They still swoon. Yesterday, Sam talked about the Manhattan show trial. I guess it's coming to an end this week, as we'll hear the closing arguments, and then it'll be sent over to the jury, and we'll see what comes of that. This is a shorter version of the cold open that he led with yesterday. Play clip 8.
It is unheard of to get to a point where only at the time of the charging conference is there clarification as to the government's theory for making felonies out of misdemeanors. I mean, this is bizarre, and I've been around the law and criminal justice for 35 years. Can't think of a trial that had this much mystery to what the government was trying to do to avoid.
And very important, we saw in the arguments last week that the judge was basically saying in our jury instructions, I'm going to be leaning towards saying that the jury does not have to agree on what the second crime is.
But some of the charging here is novel. This is, I think, the first case, if not the first, it's a rare case where the business records falsification crime is charged in connection with a campaign finance violation, and the judge will have to craft some unusual jury instructions. So there will be a lot of art that goes into that in negotiation with the parties.
Bragg, who has no such authority, the district attorney in Manhattan, is really making up his own version of what campaign law is. But I think, you know, to the extent that those left of center legal commentators are predicting a conviction, they may be right because of the way the case has been pitched to the jury. I think the jury is seeing it through the lens of Judge Merchan, who has been very indulgent of the prosecution's dodgy theories here.
A corrupt judge, Alvin Bragg, just making it up as he goes. You heard the word novel there. That means it's never been done before. You would think the historians might be alarmed by some of this. A novel idea to try to get Trump? There's one, this is not a fake historian. Here's a real one. We've interviewed him at the Trumpet, Douglas Alderson. He's a graduate of Yale. He's a constitutional scholar. He's an expert with respect to Canadian law as well. I think he resides in Canada. But he said he had this to say to someone on our staff regarding the Bragg trial in Manhattan. He says it's an example of how corrupt the New York justice system is at a number of levels. The Sixth Amendment requirement that an accused be given notice of the nature and cause of the accusation against them. There are also guarantees under due process on the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments, which require that an accused know what they are charged with in order to defend themselves. Anything less is a journey into Kafkaesque world of injustice. I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, Trump's constitutional rights have been grossly violated throughout this whole fiasco. If Trump is convicted, it will be appealed and probably end up in federal court and out of the New York system. He then referred us to this website, The Conservative Woman, who makes this point, the journalist does. Ask yourself, what crime is it that Trump is being accused of committing? Paying hush money? No, this is not a crime. Indeed, non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, are actually legally binding agreements and are not illegal in any way. Keeping the payment secret, is that where he violated the law? No, that's the whole purpose of an NDA. It's to hush them up. So they don't say anything, and then you don't say anything about how much you paid them. And here comes Alvin Bragg with this novel idea. Well, maybe we can connect it to a campaign finance violation of some kind. You would think the historians might be a little bit alarmed by this. They know so much, they think. And in some ways they do. As I say, that Civil War documentary was brilliant. And yet they know so little. They're consumed by their pride, their vanity. These are the alarming development. Meanwhile, you've got the fake president out there destroying the country, carrying out the dear leader's fundamental transformation of the United States. You talk about an upside-down worldview. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Biden administration is pressing. This was in Richard Palmer's Trumpet brief this morning. The Biden administration is pressing European allies to back off plans to rebuke Iran for advances in its nuclear program, even as it expands its stockpile of near-weapons-grade fissile material to a record level, according to diplomats involved in discussions. So European leaders are alarmed. Now, you think about the prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40, the king of the north coming against the king of the south, the Iran-led king of the south, like a whirlwind. Europe is the one that's going to confront the threat in Iran. As it is right now, the United States of America is telling Europe, hey, back off with your criticism of the mullahs. Let them have their bombs. It says here, the U.S. is arguing against an effort by Britain and France to censure Iran at the International Atomic Energy Agency's member state board in early June. the diplomat said. Hey, back off. Come on now. Don't criticize Iran. Look, criticize Israel. You can go after Israel. It's so easy right now. They're heading into Rafah. Listen to Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business talking about this upside down worldview. Clip three.
I mean, the fog of war is ugly, but it is a reality. And, you know, to hear the White House say something like, oh, you know, they're allowed to go into Rafah, but they have to do everything they can to protect civilians. I mean, no kidding. Did President Biden know that when he did his botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, where we lost 13 servicemen? And all of a sudden, it's all about Israel making these mistakes. Now, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Biden administration is, quote, pressing European allies to back off plans to rebuke Iran because of the advances that Iran has made in its nuclear program, even as it expands its stockpile of near weapons grade fissile material to a record level. I mean, General, I don't understand what's going on here.
It's easy to understand what's going on here. America's under attack from within. And so here we are empowering the enemies and attacking the allies, attacking Israel and empowering Iran. This Wall Street Journal piece says the U.S. has pressed a number of other countries to abstain in a censure vote, saying that is what Washington will do, they said. Pressure them to abstain. Pressure them not to bring forward this censure against Iran. How do you explain this? Maria Bartiromo, as sharp as she is, generally, she says there at the end, I don't understand what's going on here. Well, if you read America Under Attack, you'll understand. If you subscribe to the Trumpet magazine, you'll understand. Listen to a bit more from her show, clip four.
Well, over and over again, it feels like this administration protects the bad guys. I mean, look, let's just say what it is that we see. I mean, Iran has been threatening the United States, threatening our service members on the ground, obviously, behind all of the attacks on Israel. And yet, Europe is not allowed to get involved and say something about the nuclear program to try to pull them back in. Why? Why are we constantly protecting the bad guys, whether it's Iran, China, Russia, or anybody else?
Yeah, why are we constantly protecting the bad guys? Last week, the Joe Obama administration sent out its condolences for the Iranian, I think it's the Iranian president, the butcher of Tehran, he's known as. This was the statement that the U.S. Department of State released following his death. Ibrahim Raisi, the president of, he died in a helicopter crash, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. We didn't get around to commenting on this last week. But the Department of State said, the United States expresses its official condolences for the death of Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi, Foreign Minister Amir something, and other members of their delegation in a helicopter crash in northwest Iran. It says, as Iran selects a new president, we reaffirm our support for the Iranian people and their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. This is a president, together with the mullahs, that have crushed the human rights of the Iranian people. And as soon as he dies in a helicopter crash, you've got Joe Obama coming out and saying, oh, we're so sorry that he died. Really? Upside down, isn't it? An upside down worldview. Fundamental transformation of the United States of America. It was laugh out loud, hilarious, as you listen to Pete Buttigieg on one of the Sunday shows a couple days ago. Try to explain how wonderful Joe Obama's electric vehicle plan is. And the fact that, yeah, over 3.5 years or 3 years into it, we've only built 7 or 8 charging stations with those billions and billions of dollars. But look, this is wonderful. Listen to this exchange. Buttigieg and the CBS reporter, clip five.
Donald Trump repeatedly talks about President Biden's decision to force the industry towards making 56% of car batteries electric by 2032, 13% hybrid. Listen to what he said in New Jersey recently.
Do you notice he's trying to save the electrical vehicle, but not the gas powered, which is the vehicle that everybody wants? They're going crazy with the electric car, costing us a fortune. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars subsidizing a car that nobody wants and nobody's ever going to buy.
He's not wrong.
Oh, he's
on
wrong.
The purchasing. He's not. Of the 4 million vehicles purchased, you know, what, 269,000 electric vehicles were sold in the U.S. market. It's up like 2%.
Every single.
He's not wrong, says the left-wing reporter. And Buttigieg said, oh, he's wrong. No, he's not. I mean, when you're being scolded by Margaret Brennan, you know this has been a disaster, a total failure. Listen to him as he tries to talk about how many charging stations we're going to have by the end of this decade. Here's clip six.
The Federal Highway Administration says only 7 or 8 charging stations have been produced with a $7.5 billion investment that taxpayers made back in 2021. Why isn't that happening more quickly?
So the president's goal is to have 500,000 chargers up by the end of this decade.
Oh, okay. So he's got 7 or 8 up in the last 3 years. On your dime, $7.5 billion. They've made 7 or 8 stations. And how does Buttigieg explain this? Well, by the end of this decade, we're going to have 500,000. Okay, got it. So 7 or 8 in 3 years and another 500,000 in the next 5 years, I guess. These people are delusional. They just talk and talk and talk. And even the money that goes toward their cherished left-wing agenda, it's wasted away into nothing. Just add it to the federal deficit. Add it to the federal debt. No charge. And for a car, as President Trump, this is the man that alarms Ken Burns. The car that nobody wants. Who's right, Buttigieg or Donald Trump? Well, if you listen to the modern historians, it's Buttigieg, of course. It's Joe Biden. It's the dear leader, Barack Obama. Look at they can do no wrong. And yet you look at the fruits, 7 or 8 charging in all of America. This is a nation of 330 or 40 million people. Well, if you look at the polling, you look at Americans' reactions to what's happening at the southern border or with the EV craze that's not so crazy or crazed. If you look at what's happening in America's cities, if you look at what Democrats are saying behind the scenes, I mean, a lot of people see the handwriting on the wall. Politico says here, a pervasive sense of fear has settled in at the highest levels of the Democratic Party over President Joe Biden's reelection prospects, even among office holders and strategists who had previously expressed confidence about the coming battle with Donald Trump. Well, there's still some that do. Joe Scarborough says that the Dems have the four aces. They're sitting on, you know, whatever you call that, a straight flush. I don't know. Four aces. Says all year, Democrats have been on a joyless and exhausting grind through the 2024 election. But now, nearly 5 months from the election, anxiety has morphed into palpable trepidation, according to more than a dozen party leaders and operatives. And the gap between Democrats, what Democrats will say on TV or in print, and what they'll text their friends has only grown as worries have surged about Biden's prospects. So they say one thing on TV, they try to remain a little bit hopeful and optimistic, or they warn you about the dangers of Trump, like the distinguished historians. And they tell you that if Trump gets in there, that's the end. If Trump gets in there by a Democratic election, that's the end of democracy. Just listen to us. I mean, we know our history. Says here, despite everything, Trump is running ahead of Biden in most battleground states. He raised far more money in April, and the landscape may only become worse for Democrats with Trump's hush money trial concluding and another, this one involving the president's son, set to begin in Delaware. That would be the fake president's son, Hunter Biden's trial that's about to begin. I saw another story, I think it was in Richard Palmer's news stack, about the fake president meeting with, you know, a daughter-in-law ahead of this trial involving his son. Got to get in some coaching. I mean, the White House is directing the lawfare against Trump. These are alarming developments, but not to the modern historians. No, no. They see this as perfectly normal. They know history. They know their American history in the case of Ken Burns. And so for a sitting president, though he's fake, for a sitting president to attack the political opposition using the full force of the DOJ and the FBI, well, that's just perfectly normal. That's not an abuse of power. No, no. What would be a real abuse of power is if Donald Trump somehow gets in there by a Democratic election. Meanwhile, amid all of this political turmoil and fighting and chaos, you look at what's happening in Europe. Emmanuel Macron, he made a case over the weekend for European unity. I mean, this is something that we've been talking about for decades, going back to the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, you know, since the end of World War II. I mean, this history is laid out in this wonderful book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Here's a good history book, by the way. I mean, there's prophecy there as well. But it ties it all together with history. What we've seen happen out of Europe, the heart of Europe, over and over again. Have we learned the lessons? Deutsche Welle, it says, speaking to a mixture of German and French, or speaking a mixture of German and French, sorry, in a speech in Dresden, French President Emmanuel Macron called for a strong and sovereign Europe as a guarantor of peace, prosperity, and democracy. What do we know about European history? And when European leaders are calling for a united Europe in order to save democracy. French President Macron said authoritarianism posed a serious threat to Europe's future in a speech delivered in the eastern German city of Dresden on Monday. So this was just yesterday. But there's nothing in what Macron said that's going to alarm the modern historian here in the United States. Certainly not. In fact, these European leaders are going to use the worldview of Ken Burns and others to excuse their attack on America. Well, we've got to do this for democracy, right? It says here, the French president pointed to the rise of far-right political parties as one key source. Everywhere in our democracies, these ideas thrive, pushed by the extremes, and in particular, the far right. This ill wind is blowing in Europe, so let us wake up. Well, the way they see it, the ill wind is blowing in America too. Certainly it is if Donald Trump gets back. Because if he gets back, that's the end of democracy in America. And we can't see the end of democracy in Europe either. So we need a united Europe. And of course, Revelation 17 says they're going to unite around a strong man, a strong leader. They're going to unite around Germany. I'll get to this in just a second. It says here, citing the ongoing war in Ukraine, Macron said that Europe is at a crossroads. He made this point by speaking in German, a gesture that was met with applause from the large audience. The Germans love it. When a Frenchman comes in and speaks their native tongue. This is from Breaking Defense, a story we've had in the notes for several days now. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius encouraged allies, including the U.S., to arrive at military expenditure of 3% GDP, though declined to put forward a timeline for such change to occur. You might remember when the bad orange man was in the presidency, how he went over to Europe and said, hey, you've got to pay your fair share. You've got to pay your dues. You've got to pay 2% at least. Well, here comes a German defense minister that's now saying, hey, let's up it to 3%. How about that? Is this alarming? Certainly not to the modern historians. No, they see what alarms them in the world that's in turmoil, this dangerous and perilous time that we're living in. What alarms them is, you know, a real estate tycoon by the name of Donald Trump. That's the sole danger facing America, facing the world. Ignorance of the highest order. It says here, both statements may raise hackles back to in Berlin as Germany continues to debate how it should, excuse me, this is another headline from the Daily Mail. It says here, how Europe and Britain are getting ready for World War III. Interactive graphic reveals how West will stop Putin, unleashing Armageddon with nukes at Russia's doorstep, mass conscription at 18, and arms factories firing up. They're preparing for war in Europe. I mean, Britain, as we know, is going to be on the outside looking in. Britain's already pulled out of the EU. It says here, as a result, many countries are reversing decades of peacetime policy to reignite their war engines. Others never stopped and are only consolidating efforts to ensure that they are fit for conflict. So here is Europe reversing decades of peacetime policy. They're revving up their war engines. The thing that you want to keep in mind as the next 5 months unfolds, and people around the world, certainly here in the United States, are consumed with all things politics. Trump, Biden, assuming Biden even makes it to the end. There's more and more commentators saying that this debate coming up at the end of June is a setup for Biden. It's a way for the Democrats to get him out of the way. Look, you got crushed. You're in decline mentally. We gotta remove you. It's a calculated risk, really, if you look at it from Trump's standpoint. Because if Biden just survives, you know the morning meltdown is going to come out the next day saying he crushed Trump. But I think Trump cares about the country so much that he's willing to go wherever. Look, I'll go to the Libertarian Convention. I'll go into the Bronx. I'll debate I'll do whatever you want. But still, you know how the regime media is going to react. They'll probably react the same way even if Biden falls asleep or if he stumbles off the stage. There's a number of different ways that this could play out. But, you know, what really secures my heart is the fact that God's will be done. We can look to the sure word of Bible prophecy. We know that Donald Trump is coming back. It's prophesied. So somehow, some way, it'll happen. And there's no doubt going to be dozens and dozens of twists and turns these next 5 months. But don't be so consumed with what happens in American politics that we forget about what's happening across the Atlantic or in the Middle East. Look at the worldview of the dear leader and the fake president with respect to Iran and Israel. And look at what's happening in Europe. It says Europe's nuclear deterrence relies massively on the U.S., which has the second largest stockpile of nukes at around 5,200 to Russia's 5,800. Several hundred of these warheads are deployed in various European territories, primarily at locations in Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. And you can go back to some of the early writings at the Trumpet magazine and see how that, as my father has said over and again, Germany's going to use those weapons that the U.S. has given them and turn them on the United States. Here again, that's some important history to make note of as well. The history, even as recent as World War II, of Europe, the continent, going after the West, that would be the United States and Britain primarily. Is history going to repeat itself? You would think the modern historian would say, hang on a second. I'm a little uneasy with this headline. But no, they're going to see it as a good, in truth, we got to be honest, even Jeroboam, when he was going over there saying you've got to pay your fair share into NATO, and pretty much you've got to function independently. We can't keep funding the bill. Well, you can sympathize with that argument to some degree, but at the same time, there's a historical ignorance that's connected at the hip to it. You don't want to empower Germany, just like you don't want to empower Iran. You don't want to empower Germany, certainly not militarily. It's nothing against the German people. But look at the history. That's what this book is about. Look at what has happened over. And then when you put it together with Revelation 17 or the prophecies in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, you would think more and more, just leave aside prophecy for a second. You would think more and more historians would be sounding the alarm, but they're not. They're not, as you saw in the cold open. What are they sounding the alarm over? The prospect of just a real estate guy winning the presidency through a Democratic election. That terrifies them. It says Sweden earlier this week announced that it would be willing to host U.S. nuclear weapons on its soil. Well, why not? If the U.S. is going to supply the weapons to all the nations on the continent, we'll have some too. How foolish. God refers to Britain as a silly dove in Scripture. How silly is this for the United States to just give over all of these nuclear weapons to the European continent and then basically say many, many years later, look, you use the weapons the way that you want to. We want to kind of break free. We've got a lot of internal turmoil at home here. We want to address our own problems. Again, you can sympathize with that because there are a lot of problems here in the United States. But the historical ignorance is on display every day in academia, on the news shows, even among, most shocking of all, even among the distinguished historians. NATO's newest member, well, I can skip on from that. Let me just finish this segment. I told you we'd be pushed for time to squeeze everything in today. But we had an article back in the May 2021 Trumpet magazine written by Richard Palmer. Fake history does real damage. Fake history. You come along, you revise the history, or you say, look, World War II doesn't matter. Those old hostilities between such and such nation and this nation, those have died out completely. We're in a new, more sophisticated and modern age. And there's only a few cavemen among us. That, you know, Donald Trump, maybe a couple of others. But if we can just keep Trump out, then everything will settle. Everything will be smoothed over. All of those ancient hostilities, they can just be swept away, no problem. Richard said, fake history does real damage, but true history can change the world. That's what we want to be grounded in, true history. That's why I want to give this book some special attention today, The Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy. You could easily add to this title and say, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy and in history, because it takes you right through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, and how that the Bible prophesies one seventh and final resurrection of this so-called Holy Roman Empire. You look at the history, it's not so holy, is it? It says here, today we hear many academic voices telling people that learning history is of little or no value. That's Richard quoting from my father. I think it's in the former prophets. That's another. You want to talk about fascinating, exciting history? Make sure you request the former prophets book as well. Former prophets and the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. Richard says here, this is another quote, It's from the first, I think it's the first chapter in the Form of Prophets, the law of history. I mean, we do want to be grounded in history. Never mind what the modern historians say. I mean, true history will change the world for the better. That's how important it is. There is a law of history. My father says this is an extremely dangerous trend that may be too entrenched to ever correct. This educational plague is rampant among the American and British peoples. It seems that few of our leaders understand what a colossal disaster it is. I mean, here my father's talking about those that would say history is not important. But think about the ones that believe it's important, but then their minds have been corrupted by the prince of the power of the air. They've turned into fake historians. That's just as bad as someone who says, you don't need history. Someone that comes along and just revises it as he goes. I mean, the second guy in that cold open that we played, he's an expert in African-American studies, and he's there telling his students at Princeton. He teaches at Princeton. He's telling them that that Donald Trump wants to bring slavery back. Slavery. Never mind all of these blacks and Hispanics that are turning out to Trump rallies in droves. What does this distinguished historian who specializes in African studies, African-American studies, what does he think about all the blacks that show up at Trump rallies? Well, I guess they don't count. They're not like the fake president said when he was campaigning in 2020. If you don't vote for me, you're not a real black person. Something to that effect. These people, as I said, they're delusional. And yet they're teaching at Princeton. They're writing books, many, many books on history. They're producing documentary series or films. It says, studying history, this is Richard now, has practical value. Distorting it has tangible effects. That's why each of us, young and old, should crave true history, true values, true education. That's what Nelson and Churchill did as best they could. It says, when God wanted to turn a nation around, he educated them to see the positives of their history. You want to fundamentally transform the United States? So the historian that would come along and swoon before the dear leader after making a statement like that, I guess they want to fundamentally transform the United States too. The prophet Ezra produced a book of Chronicles for this purpose. It says, for his generation and more importantly for generations far beyond, and the education within Chronicles and the rest of the Holy Bible contains the truest ideals, the most virtuous honor, the most important heroes, the greatest triumphs, the most stirring truth, the boldest passion, the highest inspiration, and the most fantastic glory. Crave that education. Crave true history. Devour it, as Richard Palmer writes, and there's no telling what the future holds for you and what you hold for it. True history. We've got another booklet on the true history of God's true church. That's how important is that history? In a world full of religious hundreds of Christian denominations. Why? Why so many? Why can't they all come together? Well, a lot of them are going to come under the umbrella of the Catholic Church before it's all said and done, but leave that aside. I mean, why so many differences? Why so many divisions? Why so much competition? It's amazing, even going back to what John Meacham said. You know, the way of Get, that's been popular since Genesis 3. Here he is quoting scripture. And what we need is more give and take. You know, that's what really strengthens democracy. Give and take. And here, that side, that regime, wants to take Donald Trump out of the equation entirely. How twisted and distorted their reasonings are. And yet these are prominent people. These are millionaires. These are people making millions and millions of dollars and invited on MSNBC and other channels as well to tell you how to view history, to tell you how to view current events. We better get God's perspective. or we're in trouble. We'll take a short break and then come back and finish today's show with the feedback from Baton Rouge, last Thursday's Celtic Throne performance. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
To anybody interested in coming, trust me, it's better than what you think it's going to be.
It's excellent.
It is. And I am very, very pleasantly surprised. It's really awesome.
I just like the dancing, honestly.
It's great.
I actually went to Ireland, and I didn't see as nice in Ireland.
I think it's fantastic. A lot more than I was expecting. My wife, she's up there cheering and everything, and we're just going in awe. I mean, nothing more than I was expecting. It is just awesome. That's all I can say.
It was very good. I really enjoyed it.
Very good.
Very good.
Really
very good.
I thought it was great. Great. And they have to be in shape to do a lot of what they were doing. You know, the kicking, the dancing, the gliding. I thought it was great.
I liked it. It was very fun and also very exciting to watch.
And the music, the dancing, so much energy, high energy from the littlest ones on up. It's phenomenal. I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you.
That is the most energetic show I have ever seen in my whole life. It was awesome. I loved it. We both loved it. We were screaming and hollering, and it was just awesome. They were wonderful. I'll be telling everybody.
Fantastic, man. It was great. Hadn't seen anything like it. I really hadn't. I mean, it had me fired up from the beginning. So appreciate y'all coming. I can't wait. Hey, we're trying to find out which one's going to be closest to us next to go to again.
The whole cast, and they were full of energy, and I don't know. It was just great.
So much energy. It was great. It was really great. It's wonderful to see.
The young ones, it was like full of family.
So much enthusiasm in their feet.
Yeah. My first time, and I absolutely loved it. Can't wait to see it again.
I'm just in awe. I'm just absolutely, yeah, fabulous. They are all so gorgeous. I love the kids. This little girl just sitting up there just kept smiling at me, and she is so precious.
I loved it.
Oh, wow. It was awesome. Much more than I expected. Not just dancing, but singing, playing, vocals, instruments. Yeah, very well-rounded and very talented.
So spectacularly done. Just energetic, great, loved it, perfect.
My sister has a school of performing arts, and this is the kind of show that she and I used to always be involved in and do, and it was good stuff.
That was amazing. It was truly amazing. How did they learn how to do that? So, you know, it was great.
The show was amazing. Dude, best show I've ever seen here. They are so talented. I mean, we loved them. That's just unreal. How they can move their feet so fast. That's what I told him. It's like, dude, incredible.
The show was fantastic. I've never seen anything like that. Full of energy. Just, you couldn't take your eyes off of it at any time. It was fantastic, and I recommend it to everybody.
And they're all talented. It's the thing. They're all talented. Yeah, we really enjoyed it.
It was so worth coming out here. It was awesome.
Well, I do not know how they do that. It's just... It was just amazing, that's all I can say.
It was beautiful. Beautiful. Energetic. That's what I was telling these guys. I'm sitting there tapping my foot the whole time, you know.
Well, it was really, 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 really good.
There you go. Feedback from the Baton Rouge performance last Thursday. Don't forget about Mobile, Alabama. That's tonight. And then we'll see you at Fort Myers, Florida on Thursday evening. Just go to CelticThrone.com and you'll get all the information you need about these exciting and wonderful and fun and inspiring performances. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.